One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today, part one of a three-part conversation, Closer to Hell with Jack Kenna. Jack Kenna is a paranormal investigator, as well as an author, public figure, and adjunct teacher of his college courses on paranormal research. He is also an active paranormal investigator. Jack published several books, including Hauntings, Ghosts, and Demons, and then in June of 18, his second book, Paranormal Research. He's been involved in countless cases with the goal of helping and healing those paranormally affected. Today, we hear part one of his story on the Grave Talks.
Actually, kind of was always interested. My mother had a lot of experiences when she was growing up, stuff she used to talk about that. And so it was kind of something that was discussed in our family about, you know, having different like spiritual experiences, paranormal experiences, things that happened to her. So I always found it interesting. So I used to watch, like a lot of us, used to watch all the different shows that were on, like In Search Of and those type of shows. And to be honest, I used to have some experiences myself, some deja vu stuff. I used to also hear my name called in my own home. Actually, I'm still in the home I grew up in, believe it or not.
Wow. So
I took it over.
Yeah.
But I used to hear my name being called. It always sounded like my mother. But this is when I was a kid, like 5, 6, 7 years old.
Sure.
So when I'd go to find her, I'd say, well, what did you want, Mom? She's like, I wasn't calling you. But it always sounded just like her. You know, and I found out many years later from a psychic friend of mine who I met just on a whim. I didn't know her before. Her name is Becca Boyd. She was able to finally validate for me that it was my grandmother, my mother's mother. So very interesting. And it still happens occasionally to this day. So it's just very weird, very strange stuff. But there actually was a point where I actually had a really terrible experience, and I got away from the paranormal completely. I was about 17 at the time. And they actually did one of the shows, they did that story on it. I forget the name of the show now. But it was one of the production companies I had been working with before.
Sure.
Our House Media was the company. But they decided to do kind of a background on all the investigators they had on their show called Haunted Case Files. Mm-hmm. So they did a show, I think it was called My Worst Nightmare or something like that. I can't totally remember, to be honest with it.
Sure.
So we talked about that and what happened, and it was this really just weird, strange, kind of terrifying experience to me at the time, of like this thing was coming for me, this very negative thing was coming for me, and then something else intervened, and I'm like, after that happened, I was like, yeah, I got away from it all. I didn't want it, nothing to do with it. Well, in fact, I didn't really watch the shows too much anymore either.
Yeah, I mean, when you have something that, you know, is truly frightening or traumatic, that certainly would make one go, I don't want to touch it. Tell me the story of that. I mean, what led up to it? Well, what was the story of what happened?
Well, there was a lot of things, I think, over the years that kind of maybe led up to it. And I think one of the things, I think maybe the instigator of it, it's going to sound kind of typical, but when we were growing up, my parents went out on just a date, and for the night, they left us kids at home. My sisters were older, so they invited some of their friends over, and they did a Ouija board session, and something happened during that freaked everybody out. We saw this thing begin to like manifest, and they all the girls screamed, and I'm just kind of sitting there going, I think I was 5 years old or 6 years old at the time. I'm like, does everybody else see that kind of thing? You know, I didn't say that, but I was like shocked and looking at it.
Where was this thing manifesting in that room? And I mean, what did it look like?
It was just a lot of different colors, but it had a shape like, some kind of shape was starting to form, like it, well, you say like a person or a man or something like that. But it had all these different colors to it. Red, I remember reds, blues, yellows, all these weird, strange colors. But they were like in strings. I don't know if you can explain that any better. It was like strings of light.
Okay. Like kind of like wisps forming of light. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of strange, but I mean, it's hard to explain, but it started to form, and at least that's how I saw it. I don't know how everybody else saw it, but they all saw it. There was like five of the girls there, my two sisters and some of their friends, and they all screamed and broke their circle, so to speak, around the Ouija board, and then it just kind of disappeared. But things started happening for me more after that. And actually, I didn't know at the time, but my sister Michelle, too, she started seeing a lot more things and hearing a lot more voices and stuff like that after that experience. Funny thing was, my sister and I didn't talk about it till all these years later when she was being interviewed for that story as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I never knew that happened. She goes, yeah. She goes, I didn't know what happened to you either. So, you know, we just never talked about it.
Yeah.
So here we are now in our 50s, and now we're talking about it, you know? So it's just weird. So,
yeah.
So after that, more things would happen. And then again,
give me the more things would happen. Tell me about what those more things are.
Well, the voices, like they talk about, hearing the voices. I would have a lot of experiences of, I guess you would call it deja vu. Like I would dream about something very vividly, a place, a location, or even just a crazy, just a normal event.
Yeah.
Like all of my friends having this crack up laughing fit in school. And like 2 or 3 days or maybe a week later, it would actually happen. Or I go to this place and it's like, I saw this. I saw this building in a dream a month ago.
And could you, because when
I didn't even know I was going there.
Yeah. And could you, when you were having these experiences, could you pinpoint, you're having the experience again of something that you dreamed about. Could you like pinpoint it surely and say, I know I dreamt about that a couple weeks ago. It wasn't just like one of those kind of one-offs where you're like, it seems familiar, but I don't know what, maybe it was a dream.
I went up to New Hampshire one time. I forget the lake up there. Well, I think Lake
Winnipesaukee.
Yes. And we're walking around a little town there, and it's like, I saw this town.
Yeah.
And there was like a little, like, I don't know, this little, I would call it an island, but this little spot near a walkway that looks like a little island thing. And there was some items on it. And I was like, and one of them was a big anchor kind of thing. And I'm like, I dreamt of that. I mean, you stop and you're shocked. It's like, I already saw this, but I've never been here.
And you didn't watch What About Bob quite frequently right before that, right?
No, I was like, you're not even interested.
Because wasn't that like Winnipesaukee in that movie?
You know what I'm saying? But this would happen a lot. And then there was another time just in high school, I had this dream and I forgot about it. And like 4 days later, we're sitting in class and we're just joking around about stuff before the teacher came in. And we all have this laughing fit. And I actually suddenly, it's like, I remember this. And I remember my friend telling that joke. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I already had this experience. I was already there. It's like, and it just hit me after. It's like, wait, this happened already. You know, it's like, so you start to think, am I dreaming now or did I already dream it? You know, or did, which is it? Which came first, chicken or the egg? So yeah, things like that. I mean, a lot of weird things like that. And I never saw things though. I mean, like some people are, they see spirit and things like I rarely happens for me. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that scared the hell out of me, like I said, it was in the one show there. Mm-hmm. I was 17 and I was upstairs just laying in bed and I guess I had fallen asleep, but I remember waking up. At least I thought I woke up. It seemed real. But I couldn't move. So you could say it was sleep paralysis. But for me, I could see in my mind this thing coming up from our basement, this hideous demon thing coming up from our basement, coming up the stairs and coming for me. And just before it got to the top of the stairs to where my bedroom was, I hear this other voice say, "It's okay, you have things to do." And then this heard this horrible scream from this other thing, and it just was gone. And I remember sitting up. I don't remember waking up. I remember sitting up, and I'm in a profuse sweat, you know, because I was trying to scream at the time, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I think I screamed once I sat up, but it's like, and that was when I said, I'm not doing any of this stuff. I'm getting away from it all. So I focused more on just school and going fishing and hunting and all those other things. And so, I really got away from the paranormal completely. I used to watch some shows and some of the horror shows once in a while, but I just got away from it. I didn't want anything to do with it. So it was a very strange, unusual experience. And some people would say, well, you know, you had a, you know, that was, you know, sleep paralysis or whatever. It seemed actually real. I mean, I could see these things in my head. I actually think it was more of an out of body experience because I remember floating through in my room. And remember, I didn't want to look back because I knew I would see my body laying on the bed. So I'm like, it was just going through your head. You know, it's like, it just freaked me out. Thing of it is, I had forgotten completely about it. From that point on, when I got away from it, I completely forgot about it. I remembered it only years later. Remember, Zach Bagans did his the documentary he did for the Demon House.
Oh, the Demon House, yeah.
All right. Well, he talks about this demon he sees in his dream, right? Mm-hmm. And when they showed it, that was exactly what I saw. Exactly what I saw. That demon he describes with the horns there, that's exactly what I saw. So if you ever see that and they show it, that's exactly what I saw at the time when I was 17. That was years before that happened.
Yeah, I mean, right? then to have that image kind of seared into your mind.
And recognize it, even having supposedly forgotten it, recognize all these. Matter of fact, it scared me so much. At that point, I turned the show off. Wow. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it freaked me out. So I shut it off. I actually went back a week later and finished watching it because I started to become more curious about it. Mm-hmm. Then the funny thing is that same week later, Our House Media calls me and asks me if I want to do my origin story.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, good timing because I just remembered it.
Sure.
I mean, so it was like very strange.
So were you able to just, you know, you said I'm done, you know, diving into this stuff for a while after having that experience. Did the experiences stop though for you?
I still hear my name being called, but again, that turned out to be my deceased grandmother. Sure. I would have still some deja vu experiences, but they were less, I think, because maybe they weren't less, but I just ignored them. You know what I'm saying? So when that stuff happened, I just kind of like, it was just a dream. Just brush it off. And I kept doing that. So I think when you start to do that, and you really push that stuff away, you don't connect with any maybe abilities you might have or things like that because it just you're ignoring it completely. So yeah, I had less, I think, experiences, or at least I think I did, because again, a lot of stuff I just ignored. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of push that away when you're doing that. And I want to go further down, but I want to talk about deja vu for a minute, because that's always an interesting topic. When you look back all these years and you have the knowledge that you have now, how do you explain that? What sort of, you know, it's probably more questions than answers, but based on the information that you have now, what do you think is going on when we have experiences of deja vu, whether it's to the, you know, full-fledged effect of I dreamt that a week ago, to just, I know I've been here, and you just know it, but you know you've never been there, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things that go on. Because some people don't, if they don't remember the dream, or they didn't have a dream, but they just go someplace that seems familiar to them. Mm-hmm. Some people connect that to past life experiences and things like that, which I don't dismiss anything, but I'm on the seesaw on the past life thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if people say it, okay. I'm not going to say you didn't. You know, I'm not going to say you weren't whoever. Because anything, I don't know. Anything could happen, I suppose. But I've always been kind of on the fence on that one. But with the deja vu, you have a dream and you remember it, you know, the minute you see, like, I dreamt about this being here. I think sometimes you have what people call an out-of-body experience. You travel. Your spirit travels to that place and you see it. And why it travels there, maybe it's the universe saying, hey, you're going to go to this place. It's going to show you some of it just so you remember. Why? I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why.
Sure.
Right? I don't have that answer. I don't think any of us will. Not until we maybe pass on to the next life. So
sure.
Is there a reason why some people do get messages that could be important for some reason or another, either to them or to somebody else. I think it has to do, if you have some psychic abilities, it's just something that you begin to experience. I think it's like a, hey, you have more ability than you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think maybe everybody does. It's just whether you pay attention to it or not. Right. Because like I said, I was able to shut it off.
Yeah.
Right. And I got so good at that. It can be actually hard now for me to turn it on, to like flip the switch and be able to utilize it. I had to learn how to do that. A friend of mine taught me. That was at my friend Becca Boyd again, psychic medium.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to ask her about helping us with cases as a psychic. We didn't have anybody on the team that was psychic until I met her one time. The very first time I met her, she goes, you know, Jack, you have abilities. You can do this. I'm like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
So she kept talking to me about that. And she goes, because she knew, she goes, you used to, and that was one of the things that kind of freaked me out, because I really didn't know her that well when I didn't know her at all when I first met her. Mm-hmm. And I think it was when I first met her, she goes, you used to have, and sometimes still do have dreams of like deja vu. And then you go to that place. I'm like, how did you know that? We didn't even talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
She told me a bunch of other things. I actually had a reading done by her later that night at this event we had gone to, which is where we met her, Ghost Hunt event. And I'm like, okay, I'll have a reading done or whatever. And one of the first things she goes, you have an autistic son. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this woman know that? I never met her before.
Sure.
None of my friends talked about it. Not that night. Why would we? Right. And only two of them knew, because I didn't tell a lot of people about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, okay, how did you know that? And then she starts telling me these other things. And this is how I knew Becca Boyd is like a legitimate psychic medium, because this nobody could ever know about. This one last thing, because my mother had passed away 6 months earlier and she's giving me all this information. One of the first things she told me too, she goes, there's this name, Carol something. Anyway, she goes, just remember that name. Like, okay. So she tells me all these different things about my son, my family, different things that was going on, because I didn't ask specifically to know about anything. So she's just giving me this information. At the end, she goes, okay. She goes, that name, she goes, this is her validation. She goes, that name is Carol. Carol Ann, and you work with her and travel with her. And I'm like, son of a bitch, how'd you know that?
Yeah.
There's this girl, woman at work who I had to travel with for all the different things we were doing at work. And, you know, I worked with her and I traveled with her. And her name, she always assisted, is Carol Ann. It's not Carol. It's not Ann. It's Carol Ann. Mm-hmm. That's what you call me. There's only one person who knew that. It was my mother, who was now deceased 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
So I asked Beck, I said, how do you know that? She goes, your mother's coming through and giving me this, all this information. And right at that point, my jaw dropped. And I just kind of broke down because it's like, my mother is the only one who knew about Carol Ann. My friends there didn't even know about her. Yeah. So there's no way this woman could find out.
Sure.
So after that, I'm going to get back to the other thing. She started teaching me how to reconnect with all my abilities and to be able to help people and stuff like that. And we got talking about the whole like deja vu stuff and where does that come from? And none of us really know. Mm-hmm. You know, why does it happen? We're just supposed to maybe know something's coming up, right? And you're going to recognize this. Why? I don't know. None of us can tell us. Even Beckett couldn't tell you why that's happened. It happened to her many times. She goes, is this a place you're going to be? And maybe it's a place you need to be in your journey through life or something. But mm-hmm. the universe is telling you, okay, you're going to be going here. You don't know it yet, but you're going to be going here. So here's something that you can recognize when you get there. Or here's an event that's going to happen so you recognize when you get there. Why, again, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, is it like a peg point of you're on the right track, or is it you're on the wrong track? Or, you know,
could
like,
be both.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's still
one is
confusing.
For you're on the right track, one is for you're on the wrong track.
And you don't know. You just have the feeling.
You don't know. You know, the universe doesn't give you all the answers, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think part of what it is it's you're spiritually, you're learning that you do have these abilities. And I think you need what it's saying is you should use these to try to help others. You know, you should use these abilities, I believe, to try to help other people, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't like for me, like I don't do psychic readings or anything like that. I strictly use whatever we want to call it for when I'm working on cases to try to assist these people who are having problems.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't charge anything for doing it. I'll be talking to somebody, or actually usually it's when they're talking to me a lot, and then a word will come through for me, and I may envision something, and I have to it keeps repeating in my head. And especially if it's a word, it gets louder and louder. So I have to stop them and say, what does this mean to you? Mm-hmm. And usually they're like, their jaw drops. They're like, how did you know that? It might be a name. It might be just mm-hmm. an item. It might be something, but they're kind of like, shocks them, and then all this other information starts coming through. So maybe deja vu is just a way for your brain saying you have something else that you need to work on. You have this other ability that you can use to help people with that you need to start working on. Mm-hmm. You can do more with it than just, oh, I saw a place that I'm gonna that in advance of where I'm going, mm-hmm. you know, or I had have a memory of an experience I didn't have yet.
Sure.
You know, until it happens, you know, I that could be all it is. I mean, there may be no rhyme or reason behind it.
Deja vu, sometimes the feeling that it elicits in me anyway, it reminds me of the moments that I have where someone points out a Mandela effect thing. And you're like, what the hell? Like one last night, and I think I'd heard this one before, but I kind of forgot about it. The Fruit of the Loom. Where there is no cornucopia basket in the logo. Yet most of us remember seeing that in our childhood on every Fruit of the Loom thing our mothers bought us.
Yes, right.
And the thing is, you look at the history and it's not there. It's never been in the damn logo. So when we have, I mean, do you think the two have a connection where we almost, it's almost looking at it the opposite direction, where we have a memory of something very vivid, and it's not true. It's not there. What?
I think that's different from deja vu. I think that's something that there's different images in life. Images to humans are a big thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're very visual, right? Even more than auditory, really. Yeah. I mean, humans are very visual things. We remember things by seeing it, right? And so growing up, you know, especially here in the United States, stuff like that, you always had Thanksgiving. So there was always that cornucopia with all the fruits coming out. So I think that gets ingrained into your head. So anytime you see this cluster of fruit, you add the cornucopia to it without realizing it. Your mind does that. I think that's something else. That's like collective memory,
yeah,
if you will. And it's just so stuck in your in everybody's head.
Sure.
You just see that and you think, okay, all right, that's, oh, yeah, no, that was there. No, it wasn't.
It's so interesting how it manifests. It's manifests itself. And there was one another a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to someone about, this is a new one for me. It's always fun when a new one pops up because you think you've heard them all. Yeah. It was the Ed McMahon. If you're aware of this one, Ed McMahon had nothing to do with Publishers Clearinghouse, never went out and did checks with Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
Had nothing, was never. But there was an opposing marketing firm that was trying to almost ride the heels of it and was trying to do a very similar type thing. So when you look at that, you go, oh, this was just genius marketing. They were trying to confuse us and they did successfully. So can be explained. That can go, okay, yeah, because memory, you're always rebuilding things every time you pull memory up. It's not a record. It's not a tape. Your brain is literally pulling the pieces of the ingredients of what that memory is and going, here's what it is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because you can easily remember things easier that way, especially if it's like a famous person, right? You can connect them to something, especially with somebody who looked, they used somebody who looked similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So now your brain just says, oh, Ed McMahon, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's some guy that just kind of looks a little bit like him.
I know.
But your brain, because you saw Ed McMahon so much on, and he was on different commercials and different things. And of course, the Tonight Show, your brain just recognizes that. So if you see something very similar to that strong memory, that's what I think your mind puts there. You know,
it's spooky how it, and it's almost interesting how all of our minds can collectively do that with a similar thought. It just almost shows in a way how similar we all are, because our minds kind of work in the same ways. And if we all put the same ingredients in this way, it comes out that way years later.
Yeah. And, well, this is why, you know, witnesses to crimes and stuff are not always very reliable.
Sure.
They remember things in a certain way, and they could be have been influenced by something else in between that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do remember things more vividly right after it happens.
Sure.
But as time goes on, then you go to trial or whatever, your mind is going to build other things into that you think happened that really didn't.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. You're not lying. It's just what your brain does. Right.
Yeah.
I remember this car being there. No, that was on a TV show you saw in between.
Mm-hmm.
And know, some other crime show.
Yeah,
you know?
and people's lives are in the balance of you know,
which is why they do such a grinding thing of you know, cross examination and everything else in the process. Yeah. You know,
very
so,
true.
But your mind does put things there. So you could say, all right, with deja vu, is your mind just putting something there? And maybe you saw it in a book or saw it on TV or something like that. Mm-hmm. You could say, yes, all right, that could have been the case. Or if something, usually you won't remember it real vividly, and there'll be always something different about it, because your mind adds things sometimes or deletes things sometimes.
Sure.
But when you have this I don't even want to call it a dream, because I don't think they're dreams. I think it's a premonition, like we talk about.
Yeah.
It's something else, and it's extremely vivid. At the point when you're in that, you actually believe you're there at that moment, and then you wake up.
Sure.
Right? And that's the difference between, I think, like premonitions or even messages that come through from spirit. These things seem so vivid that it seems like it's real. And that's the difference between that and a dream, which your mind creates, right?
Yeah.
So something else is happening there. What it is, I'm not totally sure. Maybe the quantum physics guys can explain that someday.
Exactly, yeah. Get to Scott Bakula back in here.
Quantum physics guys are very interesting.
Oh, they are.
By the way.
They are.
Yeah.
And Quantum Leap is back. Did you know that?
Yes, and I'm not sure I'm going to like it.
I tried one episode the other day, and they weave Scott Bakula into the storyline, which was interesting. Yeah. And it's, but I'm like, it's not the same.
It's not the same. You know, it's already all those things. Like, it's already been done.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't need to watch reruns or a repeat of a rerun.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Bring Scott back and then we got a show. But
exactly.
So after, you know, having those experiences, kind of, you know, pushing it away, what brought you back in to wanting to do this on a regular basis and investigate.
Oh my God, it's going to be a typical, you know what? I saw Ghost Hunters.
Okay.
I watched the series. It was like, hey, I remember doing stuff. Like
I want to do that again.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You know? No, yeah, I got more interested, and I still had not remembered the bad thing that happened. I think because it was so many years later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I went on to what really more got me into it was when they first started, they had this online chat called the Beyond Reality Forum, which was put on by Jason Grant, and they had a guy working it who was on their show later on. It was I forget the guy's name now, but anyways, they were running the chat room for Jason and Grant and stuff, and I met a lot of friends there. It was nice to be able to talk with other people who had experiences and were into it and all that, and that's how I actually met the team that I'm now, which is Spirits of New England. Mm-hmm. Ellen McNeil and Beck Gann and all them, they created this team before I was even on it. I was just talking to them online on this forum for 2 years. And then I finally met them. We all went to an event with Jason and Grant up in New Hampshire. Was it New Hampshire? Yeah, New Hampshire, I think, together. And I met them there at for the first time. And, you know, it, for real, at least, anyway. I mean, I talked to him online and stuff like that, and on the phone even. But we finally got to meet, and they asked me to be part of the team. And I said, yeah, okay, let's do that. And they live out in Boston area. They all live out in Boston. I'm in Rensselaer, New York, just across the river from Albany. So I was the only one from New York. But we started, you know, going on investigations and stuff. And that's kind of how it started. And that was in 2009 that they actually made me a formal team member. Mm-hmm. And just been doing it ever since.
How did going back into it feel to you, having, you know, kind of remembered, oh, this, you know, you had that scary experience?
Well, I did. Again, yeah. I didn't remember that.
Not
I
quite yet. Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not until like 3 years ago. Whatever it was when Zach had his show.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I never thought about it. I mean, it's like, you know, we got into it to learn and to do kind of what the Ghost Hunter guys were doing, which was originally trying to just help people with hauntings. Mm-hmm. And we started doing that. We actually got into all that. I found it interesting, the history of even just people's homes and stuff like that, what was there before and why a haunting might be going on, and really enjoyed helping people sort out what was going on, you know, and kind of get their lives back a little bit, you know. And they were always grateful for it. You know, that was a nice thing. I mean, you went in and helped people. They were grateful for the help. Even if it was just, all right, you really don't have a haunting going on, but there's all this other stuff that's causing problems in your home. Mm-hmm. So, and they'd go and get it taken care of and everything would, you know, go away. So, sure. You know, a lot of that was usually high electromagnetic frequency because of poor wiring and stuff like that, which in some of these homes, it was really bad and people were feeling ill. Mm-hmm. And they were having, you know, hallucinations, seeing things, and it can cause that when it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
So when you help the people like that, and then we had people who had real hauntings that we helped with, and yeah, you know, we just kept going with it. And then, was it 3 years ago now, I actually ran into an actual full-on possession case. I didn't do the exorcism, but I assisted with it. That was very interesting, and I didn't find it scary, but it was very interesting. When you see these strange things happen that shouldn't happen, you know. I don't want to get too much into it, but when you watch somebody physically change physically change during an exorcism. Mm-hmm. That people don't change like that and then change back.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't happen. It's just, wow. I think that's when you come to the realization is there is really bad things out there that we don't see.
Yeah.
Right.
That wraps up part one of our conversation. If you'd like to hear all of it right now, get part two and our exclusive part three for Gravekeepers. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. There you'll get access to all of our episodes, all of it commercial free, and the full archive and advanced episodes ready for you to binge away on. Check it out now, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Thank you. Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.